League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everybody, this is Tim, and it's the weekend, so please enjoy the weekend edition of the Radio Labyrinth podcast. First things first, you got Jeff, Steph, and Dustin talking about all the latest news and apparently something to do with cervix. I'm going to be listening to it the same way you are, because I wasn't a part of recording it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. My wife and I are expecting our bouncing baby boy this week, so it's going to be hit or miss for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back. I want to thank our newest Radio Labyrinth Patreon members. We love your support, and all of you guys. And we appreciate everything you do for us. And I can't wait to get back into the swing of things. Two shows a week, and eventually doing another live show where we record and perform and have all sorts of fun out in Conyers at Atlanta Pizza in Euro. So without further ado, here's the podcast. And hopefully I'll be able to talk to you guys next week.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, your whatever culture something podcast. I'm your fake ass host tonight. Tim is already out on baby leave. He's on Panda Watch. But I'm here with my co-hosts, Jeff LeBeouf and Dustin Lawler. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Now then, we're just trying to hold it down for Tim. Baby's not here, but I don't know, Dustin, you've been through this. Is her cervix thinning? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what's happening right now. No, I mean, probably going to be in a lot of waiting and a lot of breathing and a lot of wishing that it was over, but there's a lot more ahead. That's at the point he's probably at now. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's for him, it's going to be a lot more mental, just watching her and what she's going through. And you feel so much for the wife. You're looking at her like you can't do anything. That's the part that except be there for her. That's really all you can do.
Look, you already did what you did. That's why you're in this. That's why she's suffering at this point.
That's why the podcast is this way. Tim's putting his dick places where he doesn't need to.
He shouldn't do this. He should not do this. I do, though, the whole cervix thinning, the reason why I brought that up is because I don't know about you guys. Sometimes people will put these posts on Facebook and maybe I'm just emotionally immature, but they're pregnant and they'll tell you all these things on Facebook. Like it's a post and all these people will jump on and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when my cervix was this, and everybody just talks about it like it's, you know, lunch.
I think it's a lot to do with you're so exposed as a pregnant woman when those things come, you know, like my wife said, every time we pass this sign, and she's going to kill me for this. Every time we pass this sign on the interstate for the OBGYN in our town, she was like, oh, look at all. And it's like six people, you know, all the nurses and doctors. She goes, all those people have seen my vagina as we drive by. So I think it becomes very commonplace for your body to just be exposed for that bit of time. So after that's done, you know, you post things like it's not really, you're not really self-conscious as much as you were before it happened, because, you know, it's like, you know, you've been on stage and it's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
Right. Cervix is never, never lunch though. Never. Unless you're Henry Cavill. Then maybe.
Well, yeah. And some of the murder podcasts I listen to, Jeff, there's been some parts fried up, as I've told you. What I wanted to know is what kind of dad do you think Tim will be? I mean, because he chucked an ice cream bowl at your head, Jeff. I mean, do you think that he's going to be that kind of a ice cream bowl chucking dad?
Yeah, the kid will have to grow up a little first.
Oh, before he crowns him in the skull with a porcelain bowl.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. He's had 50 years to be who he is, and I think it's going to make him fit. I think when you're a father, when it happens, it's weird. It's nothing you consciously think about until it happens, and then once it happens, it's like some mental switch flips, and you realize that however age you think you are, you have to set that aside, and you're a father now. And it's a weird thing that happened for me. It happened when I was 20. You know, I was young when I had my first daughter, and it's weird. You know, they say you set aside childish things, and you know, when you become an adult, but you know, I obviously haven't.
I was going to say, it seemed like you've really followed that model,
but maybe not for myself, but when you're, you know, it's honestly, it is very similar to, you know, having a pet and how you bond with that pet. And it's something that other people wouldn't understand how you feel about them and how important they are to you.
Sure, yeah.
It's like that magnified by 1,000, you know, it's, you realize all that cliche stuff you heard all your life about, you know, parenthood is legit. It makes sense.
It does seem very hard, though. I mean, the fact that you know, you can't put them in a crate and go on your way, that does seem daunting. But I think Tim's going to be a really good dad.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a great dad.
We were talking the other night about if he would have been here tonight, he was talking about doing a bit called Baby Forged, which I think we'll hang on to that. And when he comes back, we'll flesh it out some more, but with some funny little stuff. Like, and
they're forging rattles and stuff.
Yeah.
But, perfect Baba. We're done it for a month.
That's what we were talking about, you know, making it out of canister Damascus and breaking grandpa's nose with it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Kids will hurt you and you're not expecting it. You know, punches to the eyes, pulls on the nose.
Oh, you know, now I am 10 and 11 years older than my sisters, so I was their primary babysitter through all of that, through all the newborn shit. I remember all that crap.
Yeah.
But you know, I was also terrible. I didn't love them like a parent loved them.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what it kind of makes everything better. I mean, well, it kind of skews everything, is the fact that you care about them so much because they're your kids. You forgive everything. It's funny. It's like things that I saw when I was growing up, like little kids in a store that would just, man, shut that kid up, or you know, that kid's screaming. But when it's yours, it's you ignore it. I mean, it sounds different.
Yeah, we all notice that you ignore it, and it fucking infuriates the rest of us.
Yeah, but that's why. You always say, man, shut that kid up, but you realize that they've already zoned that out. They don't even hear it anymore.
All right, I will say this, and that is definitely not the same with a pet owner, because you will still tell your own dog, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Just as annoying as anybody else's dog. Well, we're just going to, I don't know when Tim's going to be back. What did he say? A few weeks, something like that. But until then, we'll just keep this ship off the rocks. We're going to do our best. And we can always be so grateful for Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They've been our sponsor since like the beginning of the show, practically. Mike Hall and his whole crew out in Conyers. So if you're out there, stop by their pizza place and have you some gyros and whatnot. And I want to say thanks to our newest Patreon, but an old time listener, Marty Johnson.
Yay.
Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
Love Marty. Been friends with him on Facebook for a long time. Big cat guy. Loves his cats. And he was talking about last week, he was out in Joshua Tree, riding around listening to the Labyrinth in his car.
Yeah, I saw that I saw the comment. That was really cool. That's Marty. Okay, I wasn't sure who the MJ was, but that makes sense now.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. He likes to travel, drive around a lot and stuff. So thanks, Marty, thanks for being a Patreon now. And our newest sponsor, I want to thank Kyle Thomas.
Kyle. Hey, Kat.
So we still don't know what we're doing for Kyle. Kyle's just content with giving us money. I don't know why, but thanks, Kyle.
Yes,
glad to have it, man.
He likes the show.
Yeah. I mean, he is really wasn't it really crazy how normal all these people are that we met at the pizza thing?
Yeah, you see all their posts and every, I mean, I know most of these or all of these people, you know, from the Radio Shack, and you kind of see what they post all the time. So, you know, you get an idea about them, but then when you see them, you're like, man, these are all normal people, yeah, just like we are. But you would think that some of the, you know, with some of the posts we get on there and some of the senses of humor, it'd be like walking into an 80s comedy club.
It's not like we're not sick too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could smell our own. That's for sure.
Gross.
All right. Now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim. Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen. He goes out there weekly.
Oh, okay.
I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I noticed that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime.
He should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right?
Dustin, why don't you hit us with some news?
Speaking of smelling stuff.
Ooh. You got a fragrant candle, Jeff?
It's from Goop.
Hey, you've been burning that thing for longer than 3 hours?
Yeah, it's been about 2 hours, 45 minutes.
All right, then we got a few minutes then.
Is that Gwyneth Paltrow's vaginosis candle?
Yeah, it looks like Gwyneth Paltrow's company is being sued by a man in Texas who purchased one of her vagina-scented candles. And after burning it on his nightstand for 3 hours, it exploded.
Oh shit, these things can explode?
Oh my god! Oh shit!
You smell like Ben Affleck.
Oh my.
But yeah, I guess
throw me out.
Well, I guess, yeah, there you go. I guess that some a lady in the UK in January had the same problem with the same candle, and hers, she said, exploded minutes after lighting it. But this guy's,
did it squirt in her eye?
That's what I was. It said it shot out bits of wax that exploded all over the room, and I was like, what are they doing with these candles?
I only like candles that are squirters.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
always if it doesn't been my
squirt,
thing.
If it doesn't squirt, it's not really a good candle.
Right? Taking it back. I mean, I'll just get a Glade if that's the problem.
Yeah, they, you know, Goop is saying that, you know, this guy's just, you know, they're going to review everything and make sure he followed the proper safety instructions for the candle.
What kind of instructions does this thing
have? You got to do a little foreplay before you light it.
Yeah, you got to play with the wick a little bit, and talk to it dirty. You know, besides the normal rules for a candle, you know, clip the wick if it gets too burnt and long, and don't burn it longer than a couple of hours. I mean, that's kind of standard, but even I let candles burn in my house for all day and it doesn't explode.
I've never had a candle explode. Never happened. And I'm a candle burning bitch.
How much vagina do you have in your candles?
Well, I've never had a vagina or a ball scented candle or a dick scented candle.
Where's that one at? I want the ball scented candle.
That's Jeff. You need to get on that dick scented candle, man. Clearly there's an audience, but you have to, I don't know, somehow make it so that it doesn't explode.
Yeah.
Like a real dick.
Well, he's looking for a cool $5 million to replace what sounds like his nightstand and the candle. So I guess that's one hell of a nightstand.
Yeah, what was
$75.
Shut the hell up.
Things are pricey.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
$75.
I can't believe she thinks this much of her vagina, and I'm so glad that it explodes. That's exactly what she gets.
She'd stop sticking those jade balls up there.
I just
that was the last thing, right? Wasn't that her last vagina centric item?
I think so.
The jade ball.
After watching Halston and then the whole process of him coming up with his scent, and you know, Vera Farmiga, she plays the scent meister. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is about how you design a scent, and you pull out these little sticks, and there's this, and you flip all these sticks under your nose, and then you put all these scents together, and that's how you make your fragrance. And I'm wondering, did she take like a bunch of like different tampons from different times? And she's like, this one.
Ah, Easter. That was a good week.
That's the one.
Well, whatever that Gwyneth Paltrow is doing with those candles, she needs to maybe change her diet or something. But in other news, it looks like Adult Swim has announced animation projects for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Oh, Jeff.
As well as a few others. I think Robot Chicken is getting one. This is a way that these shows can continue, I guess, through Adult Swim. And Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell animated would be awesome for sure.
It's already like insane. I can't imagine what they'll do with animation. And do we know if we're getting everybody voicing?
Yeah, hopefully everybody will be voicing. I reached out to Casper. He said he'll come on when he can talk about it more, when he has more info. And Dave Willis told Tim he would also come on. So
nice. Awesome.
It probably won't be very soon, but
that's something we can look forward to anyway.
Well, that makes me happy that Adult Swim's actually going to do something that we would watch again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doing something with those, those properties that we thought,
there was supposed to have been money set aside for that wrap up project for Your Pretty Face that I guess got shelved because of COVID. So maybe that whole budget went into producing these animated episodes.
Yeah. It's going to be different. I mean, the look of that show was so much because it was practical.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see where they could go with it. And
I think they'll get a whole new audience, because there's a lot of people that don't like live action. They only like animation. So I think they probably will get a whole new audience.
Yeah. Now also looks like AT&T has announced a deal to merge Warner Media with Discovery. Jeff, do you know a little more about this one?
I guess HBO Max is taking over Discovery. Is that how it's going to work? So possibly Discovery Plus will be folded into HBO Max, or maybe they'll come up with a new name. I don't know.
It'd be something with a plus sign after it, or some, you know, there'll be some new amalgam. But hey, if we can, I mean, it sounds to me like all these, you know, where they divided all the cable companies and split everything up, and now they're just kind of pushing everything right back together again. But hey, if we can get, you know, if we can pay one charge and be able to watch all of our stuff, I'm for it.
Yeah, but is this gonna be like this Disney bundle crap, where you have to pay more, but you get Disney and Hulu and ESPN? So it's going to be the same crap where it's a HBO bundle package where you get that, and then but you got to pay extra, so you can get Discovery, and you got
to
pay.
All these services need to just fold into Netflix and one other one.
Yeah. At least
Amazon and Netflix are the only two, and then everything is on either of those.
Yeah, ultimately, it may get there between Amazon, Disney, and maybe Netflix. I could see those three owning everything if it goes that way.
I mean, because at this point, by the time you pay for all these services, I mean, it's like you're paying for cable again. It's the same shit. I mean, I got rid of cable, but it's pretty much the same thing. I was looking into, my Hulu is free because I'm a Spotify user, right? So they gave me Hulu for free. But it's the commercials Hulu.
Right.
And I thought, well, why can't I just bump up and get the kind without the commercials? But you can't. You have to go through Spotify, cancel your free Hulu, then make a whole new Hulu account and pay $12 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. They usually, anytime you have those included with deals, yeah, you're definitely going to get the commercials. I mean, for $3 more than a regular account, it's worth it not to have the commercials.
Their commercials are the worst, and they play the same commercials over and over. I mean, sometimes you'll get the same commercial twice in the break. It'll just play it, then stop, and then start it again. You're like, no.
Yeah, it's about like Pluto, where you'll get three in a row of the exact same commercials sometimes. I feel like you're in a time loop after a few minutes.
Right.
Speaking of Henry Cavill earlier, it looks like he is in talks to star in a new The Highlander reboot, which I'm really surprised they haven't tried doing that before now.
I wonder if they were hoping Christopher Lambert would come back.
Oh, he's
90 now.
I could see him maybe playing the Sean Connery part. Yeah. And that would kind of be neat, but I don't know. Lambert up against Cavill, kind of a little bit of a, Lambert's a good actor. Mm. But you know, that role was kind of curtailed for him, or he kind of lived through that role, and everything else you ever see him in, all you can ever think of is he's playing the Highlander character in whatever he's in.
He was good in Night Moves, Dustin. Let's not forget.
Yes. I'm sorry. How can I forget?
The Highlander. I bet you can't eat just one.
I love The Highlander, the first one. I was a big fan of that first movie.
Yeah, I liked the first one. I liked what was his name? The Kragan, the bad guy. It was the guard from Shawshank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one that does Mr. Plankton's voice. I can't remember his name. Right. Yeah, anyway, I like the first one, but once they started getting into the whole alien end of the thing, it kind of lost me. I liked the fantasy side of it. When they tried to make it make sense, it kind of fell apart for me.
And then what I saw was that they want to make this into a trilogy. So it will, they want to do it, but who knows if they update it in Cavill, which I really like him. I think he's great.
Yeah. But he's also, I mean, he's kind of the franchise guy though. I mean,
The Witcher.
Yeah. Witcher. And they thought the Man from U.N.C.L.E., they thought they were going to, you know, keep it going too. So it's like everything he gets in, you're going to see him in that character at least a couple more times.
Well, maybe they could do the Man Eats U.N.C.L.E. in the next one.
That Armie Hammer rubbed off on him big time when they made that movie. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I wonder if he saw him snacking on. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, what you eating? Oh, man. Danny Masterson came out today that he is going to be ordered to stand trial for those three rapes from 20 years ago, alleged rapes from 20 years ago. Is this the Me Too thing starting to retroact a lot of these, you know, these allegations from years and years ago? Is this going to be happening with other folks?
These are the ones that got him kicked off his show, right?
The
accusations.
Yeah, they got him. Well, then they got him off the ranch.
Yeah.
And most recently, but yeah, and then everything else before. I think it's always been this. It's for him. It's always come up. Whenever he has a project, it's like this comes back up and he disappears, because you haven't seen him in anything at least 6 or 7 years.
No,
besides the ranch,
he's been laying low since he got kicked off the ranch.
So, is it possible that maybe he just dipped a toe in rape? Just tried it a few times and thought, nah, I'm not really into rape. It's like I thought I liked it, but it's not for me. And just stopped raping. Is that possible, maybe?
Well, I mean, that may be the case. Unfortunately, it's the his trial runs then are the one that's going to be the problem. Because I guess, you know, there's not a statute of limitations on any of these.
Oh, really? That's what I was wondering. If it 20 years old seems like a long time ago.
One of them was his girlfriend of 6 years.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to, and I'm not going to open that can of worms, but I mean, someone you're in a relationship with for that long, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to make some of these things stick when, you know, it's, but the other two, you know, were not, they were, you know, acquaintance.
Well,
go ahead, Jeff.
They'll get their day in court.
Mm-hmm.
It'll all come to light.
Yeah, it's one of those two that's kind of always hung over him on everything. You know, it's always been kind of out there. You know, it's not like, you know, we went 20 years and nobody knew that this was, you know, happened or going on. This has been public knowledge for the last 20 years.
Is he in Scientology?
I think so. Yeah, I think his whole family is.
So maybe they were trying to
protect him.
Yeah. Shove it under the rug there.
Well, that's what a lot of the girls, the three women, the accusers, all state, that they have been categorically harassed by the Church of Scientology.
Like Tom Cruise is showing up at their house and yelling at him and shit,
throwing his Golden Globes at them. Bitches, you lying bitches.
Yeah, he said he sent back those three Golden Globes. They went through three different windows.
But what do you think it's like to be the brothers of these people that are accused, like Dave Franco with James Franco and this guy? And, you know, his brother was the one on Malcolm in the Middle.
Right.
And then who else was most recent? Freaking Casey Affleck and Ben Affleck. I mean, I just wonder what it's like to be the brother when you guys are both in the business and you're like, nah.
Seth Rogen said he wasn't going to work with Franco anymore, but I don't think that's even true, because I think he's working with him right now. But he came out and said the other day that he wasn't going to work with him anymore, but I think that was just bullshit.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I heard that. I was wondering if it was taken out of context a little bit from how he originally said it, because they keep going back to that same quote. You know, and you don't know if it was said with sarcasm or anything else, and someone just ran with it.
And he's another one, though, but nobody's ever just straight up said, James Franco raped me. That is, I don't think anybody's ever said that.
No, they said he used his position of influence to, you know, woo ladies or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's the part. You've been wooed at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, you're committing to it yourself.
But what's the point of becoming a famous actor if you can't use that to bang some chicks?
I gotta agree with you.
I mean, that's what they've sold us our entire life, you know, on becoming a rock star or a movie star or anything else. It holds sexual sway.
Madonna. I mean, she completely looks like Mufasa, and she has like a 22-year-old boyfriend. So, I mean.
Yeah, I'm still thinking she probably grew him in a lab somewhere 25 years ago.
As weird as she looks now, Rob Lowe is still way into Madonna. He was talking about her today on his podcast. He had Andrew Ridgely on.
Oh, my. He still looks fantastic.
Andrew McCarthy, I mean.
Oh.
Who's looking a little old, but.
Yeah, he looks like.
He's got a new book out, right?
Yeah, he's got a book out, Andrew McCarthy. And but he was still talking about. He had the hots for Madonna in the 80s, and it still stuck with them.
He never hooked up with her, though.
No, I don't think he did.
That is surprising.
Well, see, he's one who's made it through that, you know, that gauntlet of all the, you know, all the allegations that he went through. I mean, with the babysitters.
Yeah, he came out of that totally clean with the sex tape and all that.
Yeah. I mean, it was full blown. I mean, there was nothing unknown about what he did. He didn't try to cover it up, and he just kind of, I think he laid low for about 10 years after that happened. And then, you know, resurfaced like nothing happened.
Didn't get anything for it now. At his roast.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I will just to stick up for not really stick up for him, but as a 16-year-old girl, 28-year-old Rob Lowe, get the camera.
Yeah.
Get it out. I don't think there was not that many that wouldn't. I'm pretty sure she knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that was the time where there was, you're right. At that time, a 16-year-old looking at a 28-year-old Rob Lowe. I mean,
young blood. Yes, there would be. Yeah, I mean, there's just. If it was any other guy, like if it was Gary Busey, no, it's rape. Just rape the shit out of me.
Gary Busey, it could have been a lot more things worse than rape. He could have tried to adopt you. let's see. I mean, we've got something else here we could talk about. Best sitcoms of all time.
Well, I was just gonna see like
that is a. Did you look at that list?
It's quite a list. But I was just going to see if we were like staggering or stumbling too bad. I don't know. Just trying to like make up for the fact that Tim's not here to do impressions.
Yeah.
Look at like the top 10.
Okay. Why don't we do that? This is Rolling Stones. It was from their best sitcoms of all time. It's the top 100. If you do like 90 through 100, because I don't agree with most of those. And then and then do 10 to 1. How about that, Dustin?
90 to 100? Okay.
Do like 100 to 90, like count back.
Okay.
And then do 10 to 1.
Well, this would be 99. We'll do 99 to 90 because that's how they got it. Oddly enough, 99, Schitt's Creek.
I see. I strongly disagree. How could that be 99? Come on now.
That should be in the 30s at least.
Hell yes, it should be. 99?
Yeah, it was almost like it was thrown on as an afterthought. Because 98 is Frank's Place. Do you guys remember this one?
Was Tim Reed on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from WKRP. Venus Flytrap. Yeah, it was actually he was with with the same creators of WKRP. They made this New Orleans based was a detective show.
Who else was in that besides Tim Reed?
Stars Tim Reed. It only listens.
I don't remember anybody else.
No, it doesn't even list anybody else. And what's weird is they say this was the hardest one to find as far as to find a copy of any of the episodes. There's like two or three muddy VHS copies on YouTube.
So definitely one of the funniest sitcoms of all time.
Yeah, definitely better than Schitt's Creek.
Funnier than Schitt's Creek, yeah.
Sure.
97 is Dairy Girls, which is pretty funny. The Irish girl school.
It's hard to understand them, though.
Nah, I listen to a lot of, I got listened to a few different Irish channels, and it's funny. After a while, you kind of just don't think about it anymore. But yeah, some of their slang and stuff, you're like, what? What'd you tell her to do?
Would you say it's a 97er?
I would, no. And definitely not better than Schitt's Creek. Mm-mm. But 96, Night Court, which I also thought would be a lot higher.
Yeah, that should be higher also.
Ran from 1984 to 1992. And it also has a remake that's coming out next year or this fall with the daughter of Harry Stone taking over the seat.
It's that girl from Big Bang Theory, the blonde that wasn't their neighbor. The one that
the girlfriend of the...
Yeah, the wife of Howard.
Howard, yeah. One with the voice, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's going to have... That one's going to have Dan Fielding back in it. So John Larroquette will be the only reoccurring character.
Because Bull's dead, right?
No, he's alive still. I don't think... I think he's retired, though.
Marsha Warfield, she's up there.
Yeah. They'll probably have a few cameo walk-ons, but, I mean... Marky Post, maybe. But I think Charles Robinson, I think he's passed as well. The one that played Mac.
Yeah, Mac.
95 goes to an ABC Kids current cartoon called Bluey.
What?
Never heard of this.
Yeah. It's an Australian animated series for preschoolers. But it's better than Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Who made that? I mean, I can't believe this is a Rolling Stone list. I mean, you would think that this is just some rando internet coffee clatch. I don't know what the hell.
94 is Baskets, Galifianakis.
That's a good one.
That's a funny show.
I guess 94.
Yeah. 93 is Insecure on HBO.
I love that show. Definitely I know you guys.
Show, yeah.
I think it's very funny, and I think I'd put it a little bit higher than 93. It's a very smart show.
92 is Big Mouth on Netflix, animated show.
That's hilarious.
That is. That pushes some envelopes right there.
Did you see that last week where John Mulaney, you know, he's divorcing his wife?
Yeah, he's already done rehab this year. No, he's divorced his wife. I'm sure those go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And he did a stand-up recently where he just kind of walked on stage and just talked about all of his shit. And they said it was nothing like anything he's ever done. Nothing polished. He was in jeans and like a t-shirt. So it was very much a departure. And he talked a lot about the divorce, or he talked a lot about his relationship and being in rehab, that it got very serious. And I'm wondering if maybe she's an enabler. Maybe that's why he's divorcing her.
Or maybe
keeping it secret from her because nobody had any idea. Even Seth Meyers, who hired him to work on the writing staff, had no idea.
Because right before this came out, I think there was an episode where I was talking about him being like the new cleanest, like, you know, comic out there with the best attitude and, you know, got it all together. And then it comes out like 2 weeks later that
it's cocaine.
Yep.
It's always cocaine.
It's a hell of a drug.
It makes you have a great attitude.
91 is Daria from MTV, the animated show.
Mm-hmm. I never got into Daria.
Hell no.
It was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Very inferior spinoff.
So I'm not sure about that. Now, Buffalo Bill, do you remember this show from 83? Yeah.
Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
And the dad from Elf.
Yeah, and it had Mac from Night Court. He was in it as well.
That was a good show. I remember that.
Anything with Dabney Coleman's good. And I know we'll jump to the top 10, but just to give you an idea, number 89 is The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's surprising to me just because of what a huge following they have and how long it ran, that they wouldn't be higher up, even though I don't really think they deserve it.
It wasn't a hilarious show. It was a situation comedy where you kind of tuned in just to see what these nerds are up to, but there was never a lot of huge belly laughs or anything.
No, you just appreciated the geekiness of it just because it was shit that you liked and they were talking about it.
Yeah, it definitely rode the wave of, you know, the 2010s geek culture that kind of surfaced, and they just kind of, you know, went with it. But man, weren't they making like a couple of $1 million an episode like that last season?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's something ridiculous.
The Friends route where they all negotiated their contracts together and stuff so they could make more money.
That's ridiculous. Why would you do anything else after that?
I don't think, well, David, he's on the Roseanne reboot, right?
He's been on a couple times. I don't think he's even a recurring character, but he's guest starred on there a couple times.
Didn't she get her own series that nobody watched?
Yeah, she has her own show. I don't know if that's got renewed or not. It's not good.
I think the best actor out of the crew is that Jim Parsons.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And Kaylee Cuoco, too. That flight attendant show was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I may go back to that, Jeff.
So jumping to number 10.
Number 10.
10 is the Dick Van Dyke Show from 61 to 66. It only ran for 5 years. I thought it ran a lot longer than that.
That's been its syndication forever.
True.
There could be an argument made for that being the number one sitcom of all time.
Yeah.
Because it was so influential on tons of shows.
Yeah, and it started, I mean, that was Reiner's, when does this start? Or
yeah.
Yeah. Number 9 is the Larry Sanders Show. That's kind of, I mean, it's a great show, but I was impressed that it was number 9.
Yeah. That kind of redeems them for the Schitt's Creek thing.
Number 8, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec was hilarious, except for the first season, but they found their legs pretty quick.
All I know is if that Parks and Rec is 8 and The Office is not higher than that, I'll fucking blow this entire list to pieces.
Well, number 7 is The Honeymooners. Bang Zoom.
Was that funny? Come on, guys. I watched that when I was a kid, too.
Laughed at that. The only time The Honeymooners ever made me laugh was when Eddie Murphy was doing it.
Right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, when it's referenced, it's funny. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I've always thought that the same thing about Monty Python. It's like Monty Python is funny, but it's funnier when you're talking about it with people as opposed to sitting there and watching it. I don't know why.
It's unwatchable to me.
Monty Python?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the shows the show I could definitely see as being unwatchable, but the movies are good, but they are better when, I always thought they were better when you're talking about them to somebody, like referencing them or quoting them. Right. But you go to watch it and you're like, that wasn't as funny as us talking about it. Number 6, The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah.
It kind of falls with the Honeymooners to me. It's iconic, but it wasn't just, you know, hilarious.
Yeah,
there were some hilarious episodes, but
it's
overall,
5, Rhoda,
MASH.
Okay. I mean, the early seasons, there was a lot of funny episodes. I still watch MASH.
Well, and there's so many. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, they ran for so long that they were able to have, you know, out there concepts when it came to episodes. So you could get some weird, you know, funny episodes or interesting stuff, as opposed to if they would only, you know, had 3 seasons of it.
There was a show where it's one of the only shows where I prefer it with the laugh track versus when they lost the laugh track.
Yeah. Yeah, it did definitely. I always liked the laugh track. And did they the last couple of seasons they dropped the laugh track?
It was very serious.
Yeah.
And yeah, there wasn't any of that. Like, you know how now when there's a new show on Netflix or anything like that, if it's got a laugh track, I'm done. That's the all I have to do is hear people laughing and I'm done.
The Office ruined that for they everybody.
For killing the laugh track?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four, All in the Family. Oh. It's in the top five for sure.
Yeah.
Number three, I Love Lucy. It's one of those, it's kind of one of those things, again, you respect it, but is it as funny as some of this other stuff?
I'd put the Jeffersons over I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
True. Number two is Seinfeld.
Well, I can't dispute that that is wouldn't be in the top 10.
Okay, well, you're going to be upset. Number one is not The Office.
Oh my! You're Number kidding me.
Ironically enough, though, it's Cheers.
Well, I can't get that, man.
Now you got it. Now this that makes it's a Rolling Stone list. That makes a little more sense. I don't know why, but I always associate Cheers just seemed like a something so middle of the road that it didn't have to be a niche for everybody to think it was funny.
What is The Office on there, Dustin? Can you
number 22. The UK Office is listed also.
As what?
I don't know what number that is, but it's 22 for the US Office.
A 29 for the UK Office.
UK Office 29, yeah.
Disgusting. How would they put Parks and Rec that much ahead of The Office? They're insane.
Yeah.
Especially with that last season of Parks and Rec was written on a toilet, on a piece of paper, and they just call it a season. It was awful.
The Golden Girls are 31.
What? I'd say the Golden Girls are funnier than I Love Lucy.
Yes.
It's Always Sunny is number 28.
Sex in the City's 35.
Ugh, yeah, they leave Louie in there at 26.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that he does deserve that.
That show was hilarious.
You got Sex in the City at 36 and Schitt's Creek at 99.
Yeah, yeah, I think they got to 99 and they were like, oh my God, we forgot Schitt's Creek. Just slap it on the end.
They had like the whole list together and then all the millennials started voting at the end and they got Schitt's Creek into the list. At the last minute.
Well, I think it was they looked at the Golden Globes or the Emmys. Yeah. And they were like, hey, didn't these guys win like the last 2 years in a row? let's at least put them on the list. But that's the list. Hey, Jeff, who died?
Yeah, we lost a couple of big people this week. Charles Grodin was the sadder one of the. He was such an iconic star.
That got me.
Yeah, he was one of those you don't think anything about him not making, being there to make a funny comment. Or
the last time I saw him was on Louie, actually, when he played the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Louie threw out his back or whatever. And he was on a few episodes as the doctor telling him, like, hey, your back's messed up. You're old. What are you going to do? There's nothing we can do about it.
It's like he was channeling his character from Rosemary's Baby, like an older version of that doctor.
And, a bunch of celebrities chimed in on I didn't look at a bunch of these. Robert De Niro, of course, and Steve Martin.
He's worked with so many. I mean, Ben.
He was in a ton of stuff, especially.
I get it. My one of my favorite Grodin movies of all time, and I've seen it so many times is Clifford. I love Clifford.
Clifford's hilarious.
And Martin Short is that little boy, and just the shit that he, how upset Grodin gets with him. They play off of each other.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's just such a perfect movie.
He played the straight guy just so well. He could just deadpan anything. That he, and the looks and stuff he would give too, or he didn't have to say anything. Sometimes he could just look.
Right.
Yeah, he was 86.
Did it say what he died of?
I don't know if they listed the cause of death or not.
I thought he had cancer. I think he had cancer.
Yeah, his wife did not reveal the cause of death, I guess, or his son.
Well, RIP.
He did have cancer for the last few years, so that's probably what it was. And the other one, another sad one, Paul Mooney died.
I couldn't remember him. I didn't even realize he was that old.
He was almost 80, 79 years old.
He did not look it.
No.
At all.
I thought that he was, up until recently, it was when they were talking, I guess when Chappelle's Show was coming back and all that stuff with Dave Chappelle getting his rights back and everything, they were trying to interview him and stuff and nobody could, you know, get a hold of him or find him, I guess. But that's when they started showing some of his older clips of things that he had done. I didn't realize he had started out with, you know, all with Pryor and everyone.
Yeah, he was great with Richard Pryor.
Yeah. I knew he had to be up there, but he must have started out even doing that when he was young. But he was definitely a very interesting individual.
He was what you would definitely call a gifted orator. Because he could read anything and make it interesting. And just the snark. He had the absolute best snark.
I think he wrote like for Sanford and Son and Good Times and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That makes sense. I could definitely see him writing Esther lines.
Well, I will definitely miss Paul Mooney. I guess we're going to wrap her up, right, guys? I think we have done all we need to do this time around.
You're going on vacation next week, right?
Okay, so I am going on vacation, but I'm not going to Detroit. But I will still not be on the show next week. So you guys are going to do your thing with Roby, right? Monday, you're going to Kevin Smith it out?
We're going to do that Thursday. I'm trying to get that guy, Sean McBee, who's... he's a podcaster and he's a graphic designer like I am, but he's like successful at it.
What is that like? Ooh.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to talk to him. So maybe me and Dustin can interview him if Tim doesn't feel like doing it or the baby shows up. Well, and then Thursday we're trying to do just Kevin Smith talk. We're going to have Roby on. I've reached out to all the members of Tell Him Steve Dave. And I got a single email back from Walt.
Did you?
Who wanted me to remind him who Dustin was.
Oh, God.
And Tell Him Steve Dave's lore. So I said, well, one of the pictures that Dustin made way back in episode 18 of Tell Him Steve Dave is on like, what, 500 now? Or almost?
Yeah, they're 500. Close to 600. Yeah, close to 600 or something.
Back in episode 18, Dustin made some weird little Photoshop photos and sent them in. And then the guy suggested that maybe Dustin should go to jail. Or be in prison for his artwork.
Yeah, they wanted me. One person in particular was like, I think we need to call the police. And they were talking about it on the show. It was, and I'm sitting here as a fan, you know, just going, oh, they saw my pictures. And they're like, oh, shit, they want me in jail.
I thought maybe it would be fun to have Walt come on and confront you, but I don't know if he'll do it.
Yeah, what was it, 2007? So, yeah, I can do like a 15-year apology on that one. Because, yeah, once I saw those pictures again, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I sent those to somebody.
What were they pictures of? What were they?
They had requested this, right? In like an earlier episode.
Yeah.
They asked for somebody to Photoshop this.
Yeah, they said they were going to make this. They went to a flea market and they had found this iguana, like stuffed iguana. And they called it, they had a name for it. And that was good. And it is early in the show. So they were like, oh, we can make this our emblem. And they're like, somebody Photoshop this, you know, with pictures with the guys and see, you know, and send them in. So of course, you know, they also met the person they bought it from was this old guy that worked at the flea market that they were kind of making fun of the whole time. So I basically Photoshopped like some elder porn with some heads replaced. and added in the iguana. Yeah, it was rough. I mean, I didn't realize how bad it was till I found those pictures again. But yeah, I definitely want to apologize, and if I can do it face to face, that would be even better.
That'd be great if we could get him to show up, but I doubt anybody will show up.
Yeah, I don't know, but well, me, you know, Roby, you know, he's a big TESD fan and Kevin Smith fan too. So
and we're all OG Tone Steve Dave fans, so we could probably fill a full show talking about that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
So if you guys want to record on, if you want to record Memorial Day, I'll do it.
I think we're taking Memorial Day.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Tell them Steve Dave episode's going to come out on the 1st, I think. So yeah, we can take Memorial Day off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be back when we're back, whenever that.
Yeah, you can tell us all about your fabulous nude beach vacation that you're going on.
It's not going to be anything good, Jeff. I'll tell you that much.
Just make sure you bring me back a candle.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm going like in my yard. I'm going to be here in my house.
Okay, make sure you make me a candle.
I'll make you. I'll have Neil dip his anus in some wax.
You can't get a pickle flavored candle.
There you go. Pickle candle.
That will definitely explode. I definitely. And if you guys can, if you have, I don't even know, $5 something, if you can go to barkvilledogrescue.org and donate to us, because we took in a dog today. We haven't taken any dogs from shelters in like 3 weeks because we couldn't afford to really, because we've got so many dogs in boarding right now. But they pulled this dog today and it's just covered in mange and it's all jacked up and it needs all kinds of vet care. But we pulled it because nobody else would. So if you can throw us $5, please go to barkvilledogrescue.org. We really appreciate it. And, you know, of course, if you want to foster, if you want to adopt, that would be cool too. So, woof.
Woof. Keep your canine.
And I guess you guys will see everybody next week. Is that right?
Me and Dustin will see everybody next week.
That's what I said. You guys. And I'll see you when I see you.
See you in a couple weeks.
Unless you see me first.
Well, until that time, please remember to
Keep it canon.
Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the, they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm going to send those shirts out. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the... No, I'm kidding. I don't want the Redbox troll doll. I want him to have it, but... now, our program directors, those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018. And John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler, not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrew.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.